podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited. Before we jump in, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are sturdy. They will not break. They don't break down. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. Right now, we've got a quarterly membership going on, which I think is awesome. I think it rocks. We've got everything you need inside of our roadmap. You know, the teachhoops did a roadmap because you're always in one of four seasons, right? You're either in preseason, you're either in postseason. You're either in the season or you're in the off season. One of those four seasons you're always in. And we set up a roadmap and a checklist to make it easier for you. So come over, join us at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast. I don't know if this will be in the thousands somewhere, 1100 maybe. So I've done a lot of podcasts. I was just talking to somebody about that. It's like, I don't know. The pandemic did it to me because all of a sudden it used to be once a week. Then it went, Coach, it went to 3 days a week and then 5 days a week. And then the pandemic happened. And I was locked in my house, not coaching because I didn't have a season. So yeah. Then I went to 7 days a week. And I don't know if I can never go back. But so Coach Mitchell, National Coach of the Year. I'm going to and we haven't had a lot of those on the podcast. We've had a lot of coaches, but not a National Coach of the Year. So, Mark, I'm going to have you kind of introduce yourself and just kind of, you know, introduce yourself and then just kind of walk us through your basketball journey. I don't even know because I haven't looked at my notes that closely that if you played or not. I don't even know if you played or not. But just kind of your basketball journey and how it got to the point where you're coaching right now.
Sure. Mark Mitchell's head women's basketball coach, St. Peter's University, Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm pretty much a Jersey guy. You know, I played a lot of basketball when I was a kid. A lot of street ball.
Before I start, where in Jersey?
I'm a North Jersey kid, you know.
Okay.
City of Newark.
How far are you from Columbia University?
That's over in New York. Not far. 30 minutes maybe.
30 minutes. Okay. Okay. So you got a big base of recruiting.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Jersey's a Jersey, New York, you know, Philly, you know, it's a hotbed of basketball. All, you know, we're in a good area for that.
Right. So before we jump into that a little bit more, so what is your radius? Like, do you get European people? There are players. Do you get, is it only East Coast? Do you get people from California?
No, I have a kid on my roster this year as a freshman from Sacramento, Cali.
Okay.
I got a couple of kids from Australia.
Really?
Down under. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You got to make a trip to Australia. That's on my bucket list, actually.
Oh, most definitely. I got to make a trip out there for sure. Yeah. This is just going into my fourth year, so. You know, we are expanding a little bit and getting out a little bit more and got a kid from Boston on my roster this year. So we're getting out a little bit.
Okay. So did you play high school or collegiate basketball?
I played 1 year of college basketball at Bloomfield College.
Okay.
So school here in New Jersey.
Okay. And then how did you get to the point that you wanted to coach? How did that pivot happen?
Yeah, I wanted to coach, basketball's pretty much a passion of mine, you know.
Right.
Always loved it, you know, couldn't get enough of it when I was young. How did I get into it? I started, you know, when I got out of high school and got out of college, you know, I coached a lot of like recreation ball. And when I became a school teacher in Elizabeth, New Jersey, I wanted to get into, I wanted to coach, coaching rec ball was great. But then I met the head boys basketball coach at my middle school that I was teaching at, Coach Luby. I introduced myself to him, talked to him, told him I want to coach. So, I always wanted to coach boys.
Right.
But I get a phone call from the head coach from high school.
Okay.
Bob Firestone.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I need somebody to coach my eighth grade middle school team. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Coach Luby going over to high school. And he's like, no. I'm the girls basketball coach at the high school. I need somebody to coach my eighth grade girls team.
Oh my goodness. Bless you. I coach freshman girls volleyball. Bless you. Yes.
I go, oh yeah. Yeah, sure. I'd love to. I really didn't want to. Coach girls, because I've always coached boys. I coach boys recreation ball. Wherever I coach boys. So it's my first time coaching girls. And I actually fell in love with it. I mean, the young ladies seem to be more, when it came down to X's and O's, like they paid attention a little more. They couldn't rely on, their athleticism. Like nobody's dunking the ball or anything like that. So it was really about skill work. And I really kind of fell in love with that and started coaching girls, then.
In eighth grade, I'm telling you, I tell all the young coaches, I talk to coaches all over the world, and I tell them, first of all, if you want to be a coach, it doesn't matter what level you're coaching, just go coach because you're going to learn something. But I said, if you got to pick when you start, pick younger is better. And they look at me like, I said, if you can go coach a fifth grade boys team, rec team, shoot, you can coach a good high school team. Trust me, because you've learned how to break the game down, explain the details, because a fifth grader doesn't know what's going on. So it's like, yeah, I think that was probably a blessing in some respects.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Working with young people. I took my eighth grade, team over to the high school to watch, Coach Firestone's practice and Coach Fire, he goes, "Hey, Coach Mitch, what are you doing here with your team?" Like, I said, "Coach, we just came to watch your practice. I need to know what you're doing so I can teach, try to implement some of that stuff for my kids because they're gonna be coming to you next year. They're gonna be playing for you. So they need to know what's some of the stuff that you do. They gotta see it. I wanna see it. I wanna teach it to them so they're more prepared for you. It's all about varsity. Like that's what it's all about here.
Well, that's what people don't understand too. It's like, I'm a math teacher. It's like, you can't take calculus if you don't know algebra. So I got to teach them I don't teach algebra anymore, but when I used to a long, long time ago, it's like, I was trying to help them so they could go up the ladder. Well, it's no different for coaches. It's like,
right.
Your goal is up there, hopefully to play up there and be a star up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just, I was teaching in the city of Elizabeth, and we had eight middle schools at the time. And then Coach Fire says to me, he says, "Coach, I've been coaching for like 30 years here in the city, and no middle school coach has ever done that. You're the first to do that." So he was really, taken to me, this guy's different. Like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I am different. Like
That one thing. So for young coaches listening, that one thing, wow. Like seriously, it's like, be also, if you want to get good at your craft, you got to see people that are good. I mean, that's why.
Absolutely. And so what happened was, Coach Fire, he retires. So he recommends me to be the varsity basketball coach in high school. So again, timing, right?
There's timing, like, a lot of timing.
He's been coaching for 30 years. I'm the first middle school coach to ever do that. He's like, this guy is different. He cares. He's not in it for a check. So I get recommended by a legend in the city of Elizabeth, and I'm lucky enough to get the job. I mean, it was just pure time. I mean, if this happened 3 years earlier, it doesn't happen.
Right.
2 years later, it doesn't happen. It was perfect timing. So I get the head job. I'm lucky to get the head job. I go out and try to bring the city together, like, you know, eighth grader, you know, it was eight middle schools, right? So what I did was I said, hey, let's get the best, let's do an all-star game, an eighth grade all-star game. So I get, you know, kids from, you know, all, you know, the eighth graders from different schools and split them up, and we have an eighth grade middle school all-star game. And they're like, we've never done that. Like, no one's ever done that to, you know, I was like, hey, I'm trying to bring these kids together, like, because I want to have a winning program. So, you know, so a lot of the girls from eighth grade to ninth grade stopped playing basketball for whatever reason in this city.
What do you think the reason behind that is?
Well, a lot had to do, I mean, I remember one kid who was, I think she would have been really, really good. Her mother tells me, listen, I have to work. She has to watch her little sister at home. So she can't put in the time, you know, eighth grade basketball is just, you know, it's not time consuming. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. In a lot of places, it's not even 5 days a week. Some places it is, but yeah. It's like, it's more recreational.
It's more recreational, correct. So now it's like, oh, well, I have to work this job. You know, I was like, wow, this kid would have been really good. So she just stopped playing basketball and other situations where, you know.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. If you can stop for a second and subscribe and like, we would really appreciate that. That's an easy way for you to help us out at Coach Unplugged. And we really, that does excite us a lot. I read every one of those reviews. Go over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That would help us out a lot. Also, if you're really thinking of taking your game to the next level, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as I speak right now, but a great deal. Come over and join our community. Come over and join like-minded coaches trying to get better every day. And let's head back to the podcast.
Young ladies, you know, you came with child over right. The summer from eighth grade to ninth grade in the city. Like, it was pretty disheartening.
Did you have a problem with other sports?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I was
okay. So because I'm telling you, at least in the Midwest, it tends to be volleyball. Like, volleyball will pull them away in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade.
We didn't have any of that. No.
Okay.
No, we our kids, like, you know, ball players, basketball players play basketball, soccer players play soccer, volleyball players, they play volleyball. I mean, that's kind of how, like, we didn't really have a lot of that cross.
Okay.
You know, in this area. So, but that was, you know, that was high school. I coached 3 years. We got a new superintendent came in. He felt like, you know, he wanted to make a change in the program. So I get fired.
Okay.
All right. So I get fired from coaching varsity head basketball. And I go, you know, I stop teaching, you know, after that year. I go into sales. I'm selling furniture at Raymore and Flanagan. I don't know if you have that out there.
We don't. Okay, so hold on. You're the first one that's ever sold. I've had people sell insurance before. So what's the key to being a good salesman of furniture?
It's the same as coaching. You're selling yourself. You're not selling anything else. You're being real with people. You're being authentic with people, genuine. And you don't tell people what they want to hear. You tell them what they need to hear. It's the same as coaching. you know what
I mean? Like, I love that. Cause I know, I mean, we're having our deck put, I've been dealing with contractors probably for a couple of years. And now we're doing a big one with my parents. We're doing a big one. Anyway. And a lot of it's about feel. Like, how do you, like, I got to trust that you're not going to rip me off. Like, I don't have a problem with you making money, but if you rip me off, that's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. It's the same thing in that furniture store. It's like, ooh, you know, it's like, yeah.
Well, you know, you're not, and it's funny, right? I was a school teacher, so I did sales before.
Right.
So, and to be honest, like, I was one of the best salesmen in the entire region.
Right. But you know what? Here's a thought. Like, I teach like upper level math. Some of it's like, some of them do not really want to be in my, I have to be a salesman to sell them, you know, trig. Like, what are they? They're going, why do I need trig? Well, you probably don't, but I got to sell you that you do.
Sure. But I mean, I just, you know, I sold furniture. People came in, they needed dining room set. Well, what kind of dining room set do you look for? Right. What's the size of your room? And then I would go in and, well, here's this one. How's this one? Or maybe this one would be a little bit better for you. So I was
You're trying to figure out the person, because you don't know their budget. You don't know what they're looking for.
I wasn't trying to rip anybody off. I was just trying to do my job. You know what I mean? So, and I made really good money. You know, it's in sales, like, it was like commission based. And I got so good. Like, I was like, in competition, like, it was a competition too. Like,
right.
You know, got 17, 18 salesmen in your store. And I'm like number three in the store, number one, you know, every quarter is like, wow, this guy is, you know. And I became good in the region, because there were several stores in the region. Okay. So I'm like one of the best in the region for a year. And, you know, and it's funny. One day I get off of work. I'm driving home. My cell phone rings. Right.
Timing.
So here we go.
Timing. Yep.
Timing. My cell phone rings. Who calls me? My high school basketball team from Elizabeth High School. They're on a bus riding home from Irvington High School. And when I coached for 3 years, I never beat Irvington. They were so good.
Okay.
And they call me. They're so excited. Coach, we did it, coach. We beat them. You know, and they're passing the phone around. They're all calling me and they're telling me, coach, we did it. We couldn't do it without you. We knew you were part of this, coach. Like, things that you told, like, they're telling me stuff and I'm not their coach. I'm a salesman.
Right. Right.
You know, and they're calling me.
But you know what? I was just talking to somebody. I was at a funeral today, and I was talking to somebody, and the thing about teaching is it's about the impact you make on people's lives. Right. It's similar to coaching.
Yeah.
Good coaches are good teachers, but it's not, it's that impact that you don't necessarily know you make, but you're leaving that little light in their eyes, that they just remember something, or they feel good about something, or, you know, and that had to be a great moment in your life when that call was made.
I gotta tell you, you know, you got 10 kids, you know, passing the phone around. Thank you, coach. We miss you, coach. We wish you would, you know. And then so I'm driving home. I, you know, when I hang up the phone, I had to pull over. And, I start crying like a.
Right.
I start crying like a baby. Like, I'm being honest with you.
Right.
Like, it touched me so, so, so deeply that, you know, I let it all out. Continue to drive. I go tell my wife. I'm like, honey, listen. You know, Tasia called me. Stephanie Feliciano got on the phone. Jaleesa called. She got on the phone. They're all talking to my coach. And I'm like, honey, I got a coach.
Right.
I have to coach.
Right.
So I start calling around to people and, you need an assistant, anybody, you know, I started calling colleges, you know, in the area, meaning nobody, you know. So I got fortunate, New Jersey University head coach says, hey, why don't you come in? Why don't you come in for, you know, for a meeting? Let's see, you know. And then she hires me on the spot. And she hires me on the spot. I talked to her for about 30 minutes. And she says, listen, I need another assistant. I need somebody to recruit. You know the area. You know the high school kids. And da, da, da. So I say, okay. $1,300 for the year. $1,300 for the year.
For the year.
Now, I made $96,000 for the year at Raymore and Flynn.
Right.
$96,000.
Right.
But something's I have to coach.
So did you think about selling furniture and coaching?
Yeah, you can't. It's you know, I'm 60 hours a week in my store.
Okay.
You can't do it.
Okay.
You can't sell furniture part time.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? You just can't do it. Can't be successful. You just can't. It's full time. So
okay.
What am I going to do? You know, I made a decision. I was like, yo, yeah, I got to go. I can't sell furniture anymore. You know, they wanted me to become a regional manager. And I'm like, which would have bumped my salary to, you know, and I go, honey, I got to do it. Tell my wife.
Yep.
And she's like, go for it. You know,
and so first of all, take your hats off to your spouse. That's the first thing.
Oh yeah, big ups.
And the second thing is for the young coaches, it's like, something. I mean, how old were you when you? How old were you? Were you in your 30s yet when you did that?
Oh yeah, I was older than that.
Okay, so what I tell people, especially in your 20s, you better use your 20s to figure out what you want to do.
Absolutely, yes.
Live on your parents' couch. It doesn't matter. Figure out what you want to do in your 20s. But. The problem is here's the issue is like, I've said this, I've coached and taught for 32 years. I've never worked a day in my life, because I like going to work. I probably put in more than, I know I put in more than 60 hours a week between coaching and teaching, but it's not work because I enjoy doing it. It's fun. It's what I was meant to do.
Yes.
I was not meant to sell furniture. And not that, and there maybe are people that are, but that's just not me. You only live one of these, so it better be your true. That's what I tell coaches. I tell my kids this: you only live one life. It better be your life, like not your parents' life, not your grandparents' life. It's your life.
Your life.
You want to do.
I got a job as a substitute teacher.
Okay.
I got a permanent substitute teaching job.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do they call those? They call them in our district like long-term subs or something.
Long-term, permanent. Yeah. Like, so.
Yeah.
So I worked every day at school. I worked, so I didn't have to, you know, but it didn't pay $96,000 a year.
Right, and it didn't even pay teacher salary, which isn't.
No, absolutely not. Like, I'm getting paid. I was getting paid because I was a teacher, so I know what I was getting paid. I was getting paid $130 per.
Hey everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify. We love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.